time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region. Your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance, and Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by State Farm Insurance agents Tony Theofanis and Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. For today's show, we're going to be talking with football official evaluator Tom Ransom, a former official himself. That's going to be followed about 9:30 by former Frankfort High School state pole vault champion Colton Crum, who's now at Notre Dame. Then at 9:45, we're scheduled to talk with the CEO of Country Sports Zone. That's over in Maryland, and he'll be Jake Shipley. We'll talk about aggressive parents in sports. We're also hoping to have some coaches who'll call in and talk about their gains from last night. We'll recap week 5 of the high school football season. We'll do that here in a minute. Maybe talk some college and pro football. That's going to be our lineup for today. Also, we encourage your phone calls at 659-3338 and 1-800-447-4463. That's what we're going to be doing for today. Before we get to our guest, who's already here, let's go ahead and talk about last night's sports results really, really quick. Sagamore Conference last night, Lebanon blank Frankfort 53-0. It was South Mount over Crawfordsville 36-8. Tri-West got past Danville 27-26. And Western Boone defeated North Montgomery 28-14. Over in the Hoosier Heartland, it was Clinton Central over Taylor 41-27. Sheridan got past Clinton Prairie 47-38. Delphi blank Tri-Central 28-0, and Eastern shutout Carroll by a score of 35-0. In the Hoosier Conference last night, West Lafayette proved it was still pretty darn good as they defeated Rensselaer, who was previously unbeaten last night, 44-6. Central Catholic got a win last night. They defeated Tifton by a score of 24-14. Cass defeated Northwestern 52-6. It was Twin Lakes over Benton Central 61-7. And Western defeated Hamilton Heights by a score of 51-13. That's high school sports from last night. We'll probably get back to that a little bit later. Now being joined by our guest, who's Tom Ransom, former football official. Now does a lot of football evaluating in the Big Ten and a lot of conferences around. Tom, good morning. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Yes.
So how's life now?
Well, life is different because we had the opportunity after many, many years to sell our business to another family owned operation, and so more time off, and that's not too bad.
Yeah. So I know you've done it. How many years were you an official before you became an evaluator?
Well, I started officiating when I was in college back in 1965. I really started in the intramural basketball program at Indiana University, and from there grew into football officiating, and then when I moved back to Frankfort to go back into the family business, really had to start all over again. And I was doing both, football and basketball. And then one day I had a discussion with my wife, and she said, "You need to choose between the two because you're never home." And that's the life of a football or a basketball official. And so I chose football. And for some reason, there was a sugar daddy out there that liked what I did, I guess, and helped promote me in different ways to go through the ranks of high school football officiating into small college football officiating. And then in 1983, I was asked to join the staff of the Big Ten Conference at that time.
That's still, even though it takes a lot of hits, that basically still is the Premier League, isn't it?
I think it is, yes. Look what they've done by bringing in those schools on the East Coast. When I started, it was Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern, Ohio State, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan State, and then they brought in Penn State. Now they've brought in Rutgers and Maryland and
Nebraska,
all the other schools, It's a wonderful conference to be involved with, absolutely.
I really thought when they expanded, in all honesty, I thought they might try and go after Iowa State, and I thought they might try and go after West Virginia.
I think the motive, what I understood at the time, was, first of all, those schools that they bring in have to be accountable academically. That's number one.
Yeah.
And secondly, I think that they went to the East Coast because they needed more press coverage, and they're getting that press coverage. The Big Ten, there isn't, of course, a day goes by that there's an article someplace about what's happening with the schools.
You know, when you see the Big Ten postseason basketball tournament being held at Madison Square Garden, you know the reason why they're doing it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So how have things changed over the years? Because you went from being a football official, and you did the Rose Bowl, which I'm sure was still the highlight.
Yes, yeah.
Still the highlight. Who were the participating teams that year? I forgot.
Michigan State and Southern Cal played in 1988, the Rose Bowl game. In fact, a little story about that. When I got the assignment, I called my parents first and said, "Hey, you won't believe this, but I'm going to officiate the Rose Bowl." And, "Well, we're going with you." And I called my sister. "Well, we're going with you." I called my brother. "Well, we're going with you." Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, I had 19 people in my family that wanted tickets to go to the Rose Bowl with me. And I was concerned, first of all, about getting tickets, and secondly, I was concerned about where they might be in that stadium. And so after the game was over, one of the first people I saw was my father, and I said, "I hope the seats were okay. Was everything all right?" He said, "Nah, not bad. 50-yard line, 30 rows up." He said, "They were about as good as we could have." And so after we had dressed and we had boo-hawed in the parking lot for a while, we got in the van and we were headed back to the hotel. And I had some calls in that game that were tough calls, and we were on our way back to the hotel, and I was trying to settle the family down a little bit and tell them that, all those things that people were saying about me on the field because of some of those calls, not to take them personally. And my son Todd was in the back seat, and he said, "That's okay, Dad. We were booing you, too." So we had some good times there.
So who was coaching Michigan State back? Was that still Perlis?
George Perlis.
I was
going to
say, I thought that was Perlis's time back there.
So. Right.
So when did you make the jump from going from an actual official to the booth to do the evaluation and stuff?
Well, I took a giant step in between. In 2004, the Big Ten was offered the opportunity by the NCAA to start the replay program. And so at that point in time, I had 21 years on the field, and I was just looking for something to stay involved with officiating. And David Perry, who was a supervisor at that time, kind of guaranteed me that if I went with replay, I would be a part of that replay system. So I was part of the actual pilot program in 2004 that started replay. And so I sat in replay for 9 years as a replay official. And if there's pressure on the field, there's 10 times the pressure as a replay official. Many times when you stop that game and you go to replay, the sole decision as to whether you confirm it or whether you reverse it or what you do with that play is up to the replay official. And I can tell you many days that I'm sitting there thinking there's only 20 million people out there waiting for my decision, and I've got to make a decision of some kind.
Do you guys actually get all the camera angles that they say you do on TV or not?
I have to say yes to that, but here's the difference there, too. The difference is how many cameras you might have that day. Let's take, for instance, a game between Illinois and Indiana in the Big Ten today. Let's say they may have 6 or 8 cameras on the field. Let's go back to the Ohio State-Michigan game. That same day, they might have 15 cameras on the field. So you'd get more looks than what you would from that other game. The replay program was designed with just, certain things in mind as far as what the replay program, what you could do with it. In the beginning, the major calls with replay that you got involved with were whether it's a touchdown or not, whether it was a catch or no catch, and whether it was a fumble or a ball was down. And those are still, I think, the three basics of what the rule is today as to what you can get involved with. when we first started that first year of replay, our equipment was so antiquated, we called it the Walmart equipment because it was a TiVo. You know what a TiVo is?
Yeah.
And you would play it back, and you'd go bleep, 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 and then you'd run it forwards. And so it took more time, and time was a big factor. Time at that point with the Big Ten, they wanted the decision made within 90 seconds if you could. Well, it was impossible sometimes with the way that machine ran. And eventually graduated a few years later to a program that is sold by a group called DV Sports, which is just absolutely marvelous. I mean, you can take that and you can blow that up, and you can look at a kid's foot near the sideline, and you can look at it within a quarter inch of the sideline and see whether he's in or he's out, and made a big difference. And plus, those people that run those cameras, you got to give them a lot of credit,
yeah,
because it's a very difficult thing to be the one on the spot with the camera.
It still seems to this day that replay, the time element, is still the biggest problem that they have, that they want to say, don't interrupt the flow of the game, you know, but do what you got to do.
They always compared the replay between college football and the National Football League. And at that time, we were doing it two different ways, basically. It looked like we were doing the same thing by going to the sideline and looking at the monitor and making that decision. Again, in college football, I know it's still in the Big Ten, they want that decision made as quick as it can be made,
mm-hmm,
and move on with the game. And there's a difference, too, I think, in the monetary amount that's assigned to these games as far as, you know, the value of them. And the guys in the NFL have a tough job.
Is replay the thing that really helps? Is it still needed as much as it was when you first started back then?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, how many times before we ever had any kind of replay would we have a game, dress, walk out of the stadium pulling our black suitcases with our uniforms and stuff in it, and people would, some names that I can't repeat, would
right,
be thrown at us because of something maybe that happened during the game. But today, I think replay has settled a lot of that because they know once it's shut down, there's a crew of four people in that replay box that are former football officials, and they take only the shots that are given to them by the TV cameras to use, and they have a screen that I think they can put 9 replays on that screen now, and they're watching that screen to see which one gives them the best look as far as actually making a decision, and from there, that's when they have to make that decision, and that's what they go with. And they communicate that to the referee on the field. The referee has another official standing next to him. He writes everything down because many times when they reverse it, you have to go back to the down distance and yard line that you were on in order to start play again.
And plus, you usually have to reset the clock a little bit too.
Right, exactly. And the clock's a big factor, yeah.
Especially in this day and age where it seems like there's more and more and more plays being run. The clock does become pretty much as big a thing as anything else anymore.
It's still a game of seconds.
Yeah.
Absolutely is. Yeah.
So, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break here. We'll come back and talk about how you evaluate officials when we come back here, okay?
Okay.
Well, you are listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by State Farm Insurance agents Tony Theofanis and Susan Casper.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Is there something on your mind? Are you mad about something your elected officials have done? Do you have an opinion on a local or national issue? Let us know by sending your opinion to WILO and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We now have a sound off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on sound off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast for all of north central Indiana.
Including Michigantown, Colfax, and Tipton. Clouds this morning, then partly sunny and breezy, the high 84. Tonight, mostly cloudy, below 67. Scattered showers on Sunday could have a thunder shower, the high 83. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. Check out real-time weather radar 24/7 at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by State Farm Insurance agents Tony Theofanis and Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Our guest in the studio right now is Tom Ransom. We're talking college football, particularly officiating in college basketball, since Tom is a basketball, since you're a football evaluator. I know you haven't, it's been a while since you've been out there, but you're getting ready to go back out and do some evaluating, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I hope
so. So when, what leagues are you evaluating?
Right now, I actually work for the Big Ten Conference and the National Football League. The information that I gather on a game on a weekend, I send to both groups, and what they do with it is entirely up to them. If they want to call me and ask me questions about the information I've sent on an official, then I'll answer their questions. Otherwise, a lot of times I just feed them the information and grade them, and then they take it from there.
Now, didn't you also do some Mid-American for a few years there?
Yeah, I still do. Well, Mid-American, you see, today the COC, which is a consortium of conferences, is made up of the Big Ten, the Mid-American Conference, Missouri Valley Conference, and the Pioneer League. And so any one of those four leagues and many times they'll call and say, hey, we'd like for you to go to Dayton today and watch these guys, or we'd like for you to go at Ball State today and watch these guys.
Or go up to North and South Dakota.
Right. Yes. No, that's not in the cards.
I've been up there. I know what it's like up there. But at least you play inside of the stadium up at least one of those places up there.
That's so. Right. That's right.
What do you look for when you go evaluate?
Well, you know, for several years there, after I came off the field, I still knew most of the officials that were on the field. I knew them by name, and because I had worked with them or because they had come into the league and that. Today is entirely different. You know, I've been off the field since 2003 and was up in the replay booth. You meet the guys in the locker room before the game, but you don't have that camaraderie that you have normally on a day-to-day basis if they're on your crew. And so many of the people today, I don't know their names on the field. The thing I know is that a referee has an R behind on his back. An umpire has a U. A line judge has an L. A head linesman has an H. A back judge has a B. And I'm looking at position. I'm not looking at it. And it's probably better that way because I always felt when I was working, at times there was some bias as far as feelings about guys who were officiating that they were better than other guys simply because of who they were. And I think that takes that completely out of the picture because, again, I don't know who they are, usually until after the game when I have to fill out my report and such. So, but what I look for is, you know, once the ball's snapped, I stay with the play and watch the play to the dead ball. And then, you know, what the video shows that and the TV shows is a dead ball. Once the ball becomes dead, you see they zero right in on those guys. What the guys in the Big Ten and the NFL don't see is what's happening on the field other than that. And those are the eyes that I have to be able to look on the field, the peripheral of it, and to see what's happening with two guys chicken fighting down here or two guys going after it or a coach going after a player down here.
Or barking at somebody.
Right, absolutely. And so those are my eyes. And I still can grade the play. I chart every play of the game. No matter what it is, I chart it and the time because when I get home, if I need to look at a play from the video that I have, I can go right to that time and look at the play. And, you know, they may have called a late hit. They may have called a false start. And if I questioned that during the game, I can go back and I can look at that one time or I can look at it 100 times to make my decision on whether I felt the official, you know, was in a position to do that. You know, in officiating, there are things you talk about. One of them is field presence. I start my actual evaluation an hour before the game starts. I want to see what the guys on the field are doing during the warm-ups. Are they talking to the cheerleaders? Are they talking to the coaches? Are they paying attention to what's going on? Are the guys that are deep, are they watching the guys kick and see how far they kick it? You know, watching the quarterbacks? Is the referee watching the quarterbacks or the deep guys? What kind of passes they throw? And then, you know, today the NCAA produces a mechanics manual that basically says, if you're in position, this is where you should be on this type of play. And so I watch those things, too, to see if it's a deep pass and the guy's running toward the end zone that he doesn't cross the goal line and the guy that's the wing official is on the 10-yard line while he crosses the goal line, those kind of things. You have to make sure that mechanics are good. And then when they throw fouls, you look at their judgment on fouls and their judgment otherwise, you know, what they're doing. And overall, you know, you just look to see how he performed. Did he hustle? Was he a good communicator? Is he fit? Today, you look at officials in college football, you don't find many real overweight guys anymore. Now, high school still sees some of that.
Yeah.
But in college football, I know in the Big Ten, they weigh everybody twice during the season.
Yeah. When I hired officials, I had two rules of thumb. I said, number one, I want you in position at all times. I don't care. Just make sure you're in position.
So, right.
And number two, once you're in position, sell your call. Don't whim it. Just make sure you sell it. Otherwise, I'll live with whatever call you make. I just want you to do those two things. Just be in position and sell your call.
And that comes over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't take a new guy. I remember the first game I ever worked in high school, I worked with three guys from Frankfort. Harry Moore was principal at Riley. Bill Gosworth was with the school system. And Pony Foster. Three great guys. And I said, what do I do? And they said, stand over there, and if you see something, throw your flag. Well, did I tell you a lot about it?
Yeah.
How to get started officiating?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. They were great, yeah. And they taught me an awful lot.
Okay. Tom, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, I thank you for inviting me in today.
I have loved you. I've loved this. This has been great.
Come back sometime,
yeah.
And we get a little more in-depth in some of this stuff.
Okay, sounds good. Tom, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by State Farm Insurance agents Tony Theofanis and Susan Casper.